6 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. The man in line is open line through till 1 today. Tomorrow at this time, the Enterprise Minister, Lawrence Skelly, MHK, will be with us to talk about how we navigate our way out of this, how we pay for everything that's gone past, and really what's the future for the Isle of Man in terms of new enterprise and making the most of what we have. Big Department Enterprise, and if you have any thoughts, any questions you'd like to pose to Mr. Skelly, and by all means, you can email tomorrow, you can call, you can text. And in the meantime, if you want to get them in the queue, questions that is, all you need to do is email maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682631. So 81 days of no new confirmed cases of COVID-19. If we make it through today, that'll be 82. There have been 8,665 tests, 8,643 of which have been concluded, 22 people awaiting results, so, and one person is awaiting a test. So no hospital admissions and no active cases on the Isle of Man where COVID-19 is concerned. So any thoughts on that or anything else you want to talk about? Well, look at the what's going on in Laxey, of course, today. Residents of Laxey were left with a big cleanup operation, expensive repairs and dealing with the emotional impact of flooding. We'll be looking at what's going to happen with that as well. And, of course, the Laxey sewage treatment is up in the air, as it were. What's going to happen with that now? It seems that the fact they were going to lorry it away every day, to truck it away every day and take it, that seems to be on the back boiler. Indeed, if nothing, it's been thrown out. So that seems to be miles and miles away. And if you're in Laxey, how do you feel about this? I mean, what really amounts to the fact that they're tipping untreated sewage into Laxey Bay on a daily basis. But the important story is the story that we were talking about, which was the fact that this plane kind of disappeared off to Manchester. Aurigny, the Guernsey air carrier, is looking into the circumstances of a flight that was on the way to the Isle of Man from Guernsey and ended up in Manchester, that is. So what was the story then, John Moss?
Just returning to the Laxey story, incidentally, the stuff goes in just beyond the harbour to the north. It doesn't actually go into the bay. I know because I've paddled through it in my times on my way up to Mackle.
So. On purpose?
Well, that's where the pipe comes out. It's just on how the other side of the harbour.
How far does it go? How far it's out pretty, to sea is it?
Oh, it doesn't go out to sea at all, basically. It's just there fairly. If you paddle just along the coast there, you're going through the middle of whatever comes out. So it's not miles out. It's just there, basically. It's a real flush and forget exercise.
Oh my word!
But Aurigny, yeah, Aurigny, the aircraft. For those who don't know, there was a lot of rugby being played the weekend. These age groups, sevens groups, were coming to the Isle of Man. I think they were going to Guernsey as well from here. But the Guernsey teams were coming over here, so they flew over on the Sunday due to play 72 matches, and they arrived over the Manx airspace. And apparently, but well, we don't know for certain because Aurigny are not, at the moment I'm trying to get in touch with Aurigny's PR people that are not able to get in touch with them. Apparently they were told, well, we're not ready for you yet. You have to go to Manchester. And so the teams were flown to Manchester where they waited a bit. The whole thing, they were due to, I think, play the first matches at 12 noon. They, in fact, got to the island about 12:35. So the whole thing had to be put back. But Aurigny did put their flight back, the return flight back, because I presume it was pretty much a unscheduled sort of charter flight. Now, they put it back to 7:15.
This was a big, big tournament at Portachie, wasn't it?
72 matches.
Douglas Wright, it was a sevens tournament.
Yeah, age groups, lots of age groups, sevens matches.
And they brought a plane full of people from Guernsey. It was a big thing. And they chartered a plane, they flew to the Isle of Man, and nobody on duty at the airport.
I don't know if there was or not. We tried to get through to the airport. There's a number that gets through to the desk there, but that's not being manned at the moment. I got through to a security person who basically said, I can't put you through to anywhere else on the airport. Have you tried infrastructure department? Yet you would imagine when you take off from an airport, I don't know the background to this, Orny would be able to tell us better, that you check with the airport that you're heading towards and they say, yes, we're ready to receive, etc., etc. But to arrive and be told, apparently, no, we're not ready to receive, you're going to have to go to Manchester and wait till we are ready to receive, seems a little strange.
And it was all over Twitter at the weekend. Lots of people on board the plane were tweeting photos of them sitting on the tarmac at Manchester. And thank the Lord it was a quiet day. It has been a quiet day at Manchester because they may not have been able to get in there, but they did, and they waited until somebody got on duty at Ronaldsway and they flew in. And as you say, Orny, that's the benefit of having your own airline, they just pushed the timetable back and flew back later.
Yeah, it's. I mean, obviously, it's very, very strange. This the teams obviously had good weather, which was a good thing, so they could extend it. They could play all the matches because the weather was so good over the weekend, and they were able to do the whole tournament. They seem to be very. The tweets I've seen seem to be fairly mild. There's no one using expletives or anything like that. In fact, what did they say? Apparently, this is their own phrase, the airport, the Isle of Man, isn't open yet. This was at 9:26, so we've pulled over in Manchester. Can someone let them know that the Guernsey Rugby Academy are on the way? Yeah, and that was on their own tweet, the Guernsey tweet. So they were all very gentle and mild-mannered about it, but to arrive half an hour after you were supposed to have kicked off the first game must have been a bit frustrating.
Well, I'm sure the gorgeous weather took the edge off it for them as well, but at best, the island looks a bit disorganised.
Yeah, we have tried to get in touch. We've spoken to the government. The government at the moment are looking into this and trying to find out, presumably, what they can put in some sort of statement. Because on the face of it, it does seem embarrassing for the Isle of Man that we weren't ready to receive what is a prestigious connection at the moment between Guernsey. We're trying to actually get as many people from Guernsey to come over here. We're sending our people over to Guernsey. We're trying to get this connection going and getting it firm and secure. And this doesn't really look that way, does it?
Well, I think later on this week, the Chief Minister of Guernsey, Gavin St-Pierre, will be here. Let's just hope
he doesn't have to go to Manchester.
Let's just hope the airport's open in the meantime. John, thanks for being with us. John Moss is going to be following that story as the day goes on from Orny and from the government of the Isle of Man, just to see what happens. So the top and bottom of it, the plane coming from Guernsey set off, full of rugby players, ready for a sevens tournament at Portishead. And the airport wasn't open. Ronaldsway wasn't open, so they flew to Manchester, had a sandwich or two on the tarmac, and then flew in later. All's well that ends well, but really. Last October, residents of Glen Road in Laxey were left facing a big clean-up. It was a shocking, shocking circumstance. Expensive repairs dealing with the emotional impact of flooding. It absolutely raged down Laxey, if you remember, coming just 4 years after heavy rainfall led to the bridge collapsing in the village. Remember that? It reignited the conversation calling for more to be done to improve flood defences around Laxey. Well, the next stage of the work is to cut the risk of repeat scenes getting underway. And it happens today. The details from Alex Watton.
It's coming up to a year since a major incident was declared in Laxey.
A car is still strewn halfway across the road, other cars having to try to navigate around it, with this entire front smashed off.
Some houses down there have been flooded and people are stuck in the houses. So we're seeing what can be done about reducing the water level down there. So some
responsibility, sort of take responsibility and say, OK, it was me, and go, because it cannot happen again.
When the river flooded, obviously the back door there, the water came in, the front, it damaged the walls about a metre up.
All the carpet's been torn up, the furniture which is damaged has been put in the skip. We've been drying out with humidifiers. We've had the central heating on pretty well 24 hours a day. So we're fairly dry here now. You can see damp patches still on the walls.
Archive audio there from a year ago. Well, since then, the island has been gripped by the health emergency that was COVID-19. And for those on Glen Road, have they been forgotten about? It's a question local Democracy reporter Aaron Ibanez put to Garth MHK Martin Perkins.
No, they haven't. They're still struggling. We've got people that still aren't back in the houses. And throughout COVID, they were in rented accommodation, tiny accommodation, and having to isolate, quarantine themselves like everybody else. But when you're not in your own home and the kids haven't got all their toys and all the rest of it, it is a very tough time. And a few of them have really been through the mill. And hopefully we can get them back in their houses without as soon as possible.
I mean, other than the £500... payment from government, what other support has been on offer to these people?
Very little. And there's been the Round Table, I think, had a scheme as well, which gave another £500. But £1,000 when you've lost your house and all that, it's chicken feed, really, isn't it? So it's important that we get them back in the houses and do our utmost to try and make sure that they can get flood insurance.
Huge insurance losses for people who are on that road. I mean, how can you go about alleviating that and supporting residents with this?
There are moves afoot, I understand. Stand with a local insurance company who understand the problem, because what has happened is if you are IM74, the UK database picks it up for insurance companies and immediately you're high risk. So if we can get a local insurance company who understands the risk, particularly on Glen Road, because the rest of Laxey isn't too bad, it's the Glen Road bit that's the problem, and come up with some sort of special deal, it may be the government has to somehow underwrite the excess for flooding, because some people are being quoted £10,000. Excess. So if they have a flooding incident straight away, they have to pay for the first £10,000. Now, if we can do something with local insurers, that is a good step forward, I think.
Well, in the last year, as the face of the Riverside has changed on Glen Road, so has the face of the Infrastructure Minister. I asked Tim Baker about the work starting today.
Well, with this particular scheme on the Gretschweg culvert, it's an 11-week scheme. There's work within the river and there's work external to that. The in-river work has to be completed by the 30th of September to fit in with DEFA's restrictions on working in watercourses. And then the rest of the scheme will continue through the remainder of the period. So the overall scheme will run into probably early November, maybe late October possibly. But that last part we work outside.
Is there a concern here that you're doing these works in an area that's susceptible to flooding at the very time that it was last flooded to a serious extent?
Well, it did. It was a year or so ago. But, I mean, the important thing is that actually the existing culvert and the various channels will continue to function whilst this work is being done. So actually doing the work isn't going to take that away. So if we were to have a similar event at a similar time as we had last year, doing this work shouldn't contribute to the issue recurring. I think what people should be looking at is are we progressing? Are we showing commitment? Are we addressing the issues? And I think it's fair to say that we've got a number of things already done or in progress, and I do believe we are taking this very seriously. We do need to do collectively far better than we've done in the past, and you know we need to press on. So I don't think there's ever any perfect time to do this work, but you know in August it ought to be a reasonable time to do it. But as you say, last year the timing was when it was.
The 11-week scheme starts today.
It's all happening, and of course, if you live around Laxey, and if you have any opinion on that, we'd love to hear. Let's just hope that's the last we see of flooding in Laxey. Roger, good afternoon, Roger.
Good afternoon, Andy. I just caught the tail end of your previous statement and changing the subject, but I think I heard you say that in relation to a diverted flight yesterday, and I believe you mentioned the name of the First Minister, Gavin St-Pierre.
Yeah, he's coming to the island, isn't he?
Yeah, he arrived last night. Small world. My friend, his son, was actually the pilot, and I went down to Runners Way just to take a video of the plane arriving, which came early. But the First Minister was actually on that flight that arrived yesterday evening.
Oh, that's smashing. Well, we'll try and get hold of Gavin St-Pierre. I'm sure he's on a break, obviously, but being a politician, it'd be nice to speak to him.
Put out the whisper. You might catch it, or someone might mention to him, and he could maybe give you the first hand. I've just had a text message prior to this, and he would be unaware of the father, you know, just rang to say that the First Minister was on that flight. They left Guernsey 20 minutes late, but arrived here 25 minutes early. We don't do the same to do the same. When we go to Manchester, we take off late and we get there late. But he managed to make up that time on the flight.
Good. So. Thanks, Roger. Thanks for reporting that today.
Take care.
Good to hear. It's 12:20. We say welcome to the Chief Minister of Guernsey, obviously here. And a note in for Patricia that just said, more of Lax's heritage trail seems likely to be destroyed in the DOI MUA scheme for Glen Road. Whatever work's being carried out doesn't appear from the minutes of the Garth commissioners on the 17th of June to have been discussed with them, let alone subject to any other public consultation or public information. Patricia, thanks for that information as well. For 3.5 years, says Patricia, I've been asking the planning division why government departments, particularly the DOI, aren't subject to planning enforcement procedure, a process that initiated by the lack of permission for the demolition of the old Laxey Bridge, the majority of the old Laxey Bridge, and riverbank walls and steps down to the river on the north side of the river without any public structural engineer report proving that the works were completely necessary and the building of a flat link replacement not in accordance with the planning consent, a structure whose design is now proven to cause flooding problems itself, identified in the ARUP report. Patricia in South Cape in Laxey, thank you for those notes on what's going on in Laxey today. It's 11 weeks of work in Laxey just to make sure that repeat scenes, cutting the risk of repeat scenes as well. John said, many civil servants, such as the job centre staff, are now allowed to work from home. It sounds great, but how are they being managed? All they have to do is log into their computers in the morning and keep logged in throughout the day. How is it checked and monitored to make sure that they do a quota of work every day? What's stopping them from, not watching a film or something? Also, what stops them putting their phones on answer and finishing early? I know that all I ever get is answer phones when I call the government, and they seem reluctant to give out their email addresses. Maybe I'll put that to Mr. Skelly tomorrow, just to see how, because lots of government officials and civil servants, I think, are working from home. Maybe working very efficiently from home. We'll find out more. The episode, Big Phil, this is the episode at the airport concerned that diverted flight is outrageous. The island's been made a laughing stock. Perhaps it was a simple misunderstanding. Maybe they should use the X runways at Jerby. They should have flown in to Jerby. Well, there's a prison at the end nowadays, so it wouldn't really do to be putting a load of rugby players down inside the prison. Paul said the incompetence of the people in top jobs in the DOI, I think, is beyond belief. I'm sure those designated to be at the airport yesterday must have known what was going on. And I think they're putting their bosses under the bus. There seems to be a general hatred, that's Paul's word, towards the hierarchy by the workforce of the DOI, so they're just not bothered to flag up any issues. Now, it would seem astonishing that nobody remembered, or there wasn't a piece of paper, to say there's a plane coming in from Guernsey on Sunday with lots of rugby players on it. Somebody better be there. Text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com. Call 66 13 68. It's the 10th of August today, a week today and a fortnight today. We have two programmes because on Thursday the 27th of this month, it's the Douglas South by-election. Two places in the House of Keys are up there and there are 10 candidates. So to get through the 10 candidates, we're running two agenda programmes, Monday the 17th of August and Monday the 21st of August, starting at 6:05 after the 6 o'clock news and on till 6:30. Tim Glover will be in charge, talking to five candidates a week today and another five a fortnight today. There are 10 a week today. It'll be Anthony Allen, Pamela Jane Bernie Malarkey, Claire Sarah Beverly Christian, Ian James Clanton and David Anthony Fowler. And a fortnight today, Monday 24th, Andrew Charles Richard Jessop, Michael Derek Josem, Kevin Oliphant Smith, Lon Pinkerton and Stephen Paul Quine will be on. So all the candidates will be giving an opening statement, and then it will be, after that, everyone talking, not at the same time, obviously. And of course, those both programmes will be available as a podcast. So we wish everybody well. 8 people will be disappointed, 2 will be elated. Thursday 27th, the day before that 4-day bank holiday weekend, Keys will have 2 brand new members.
Listen to us on your smart speaker. Alexa, play Manx Radio.
Anything on your mind? It could be about aeroplanes and no airport. Could be out laxy, could be anything else.
Manx Radio. Man Waste Recycling. Man Waste Recycling. 855-454.
We can all do our bit to help the environment. Here at Man Waste Recycling, we tailor our services to individual businesses by providing recycling solutions for cardboard, paper, UPVC, plastics, cans, cartons and more. We'll advise you on how your business can recycle so you can help make our island even more environmentally friendly.
Man Waste Recycling for today.
A slow, even burn, a wisp of smoke and heat to pack a punch. My dad used to say making a proper fire was an art. Me, I use the Snuggin' Ramsay for all my wood-burning stove and chimney maintenance needs. With over 10 years' experience from sweeping flues, servicing stoves, diagnostic and remedial services, their team of Hetas engineers have mastered the art of keeping you and your stove safe and snug. Call the Snug now on 818 187. Warming the heart of island homes for 10 years.
Audi, Bentley, Chevrolet, Hyundai, Jaguar, Kia, Lamborghini, Land Rover, Mazda, Mercedes, Mini, Mitsubishi, Nissan, Porsche, Renault, Seat, Skoda, Subaru, Suzuki, Toyota, Vauxhall, Volkswagen. What do all these big brands have in common? They all approve the Auto Solutions top-of-the-range aircon service station for gas recovery, recycling and servicing. Aircon keeps you cool in warm weather and dehumidifies to keep your windows clear in damp weather. Have your aircon service at Auto Solutions.
670-145. Office World at Spring Valley is the island's largest one-stop shop for packaging materials. We stock everything from huge rolls of bubble wrap to single envelopes, padded bags, mailing tubes, labels, packaging tape, storage boxes, and much more. Office World has everything you need to package your goods safely and securely. Office World is also home to the island's largest stationery store, with over 4,000 products under one roof, with free parking right outside the front door. It has to be Office World at Spring Valley Estate, Braddon.
Hello. Today we're visiting rossgower.com to see what they offer over the alternatives. Can I get an instant car insurance quote online? Yes. Tick. Can I buy my insurance online straight away? Yes. Tick. Do I have to wait for my documents? No, they're instantly emailed to me. Tick. Am I immediately covered to drive in the UK and Europe at no extra cost for up to 30 days? That's a tick. Ah, can I pay monthly? Yes. Big tick. So there you go. Covered. Completely. In just a tick. Rossgower Group Limited is licensed in Guernsey by the Guernsey Financial Services Commission. Subject to standard underwriting.
It's Tuesday at 6 o'clock here on Manx Radio. Join Kiri Kermode and Simon Clark for Countryside.
I went along to the Currags Wildlife Park and caught up with the General Manager, Kathleen Graham.
I went along to the gardens and the display unit at the St John Mill, where the Manx Wildlife Trust had held an adult education day.
That's all in Countryside at 6 o'clock on Tuesday here on Manx Radio. And don't forget, you can download or subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt. Furnished by Magic Carpets.
Thanks for joining us today on The Man in Line. A note in from Andy that says, I just wanted to let you know that I've emailed the Chief Minister the facts of what happened on the crossing. Ah, this is Andy from Friday, about a UK visitor who didn't abide by the rules of not wearing a mask, coughing and sneezing before being told to get a mask on, and other issues as well. Thank you, Andy, for that. We'll be interested to see what the Chief Minister has to say. Airport closed, DOI shambles, says this correspondent, in capitals as well. Our government isn't running efficiently at the present, and some departments are still working from home. Ronald's Way weekend sleep is another example, said this. Embarrassment. The government needs to get their act together after COVID, get back to normal. We'll try and find out. Anne Reynolds, of course, is the boss of Ports. Peter, we'll try and find out more on that. I know John Moss is trying to get hold of the Guernsey end from Orini and from the government, just to say Isle of Man football returns on Saturday. We're doing some radio previews as well. Tony Meppam will be doing his stuff later on this week. Ian said, Andy, we need some answers from the government regarding the airport farce. We have a situation on Sundays when the newspapers aren't in the shops because there's no boat bringing the papers from Heysham. So papers aren't in the shops until the afternoon. Government's got a controlling interest in the steam packet, and it's the government who are responsible for our airport. News agents and the distributor must be losing money on Sundays with late paper arrivals. We now have the weekend embarrassing situation with the Guernsey flight not being able to land and having to go to Manchester. Ian said somebody needs to get to the bottom of it. Everybody's sending me the flight plans, by the way. Thank you. I've got them now. It's okay. A note in from John and said, Andy, I've been reading the aviation forums. The plane left Guernsey on time. When it got to the Irish Sea near Liverpool, it was diverted to Manchester. The information that I've read, and let's just caveat this with the fact it's on a social media forum, notwithstanding the fact that the airport currently opens at 11 o'clock on a Sunday, apparently Ronald's Way Air Traffic Control and Security were all there, ready for the plane to land as scheduled at 9:25, but no one was available to open the terminal, says John. Well, that's from the forum, so we see. Dave in Onken said, wouldn't it be a good idea to get the government workers back into offices? Obviously, if they're in offices, they're spending money in the towns and helping the coffee shops. Very low-risk situation right now, says Dave in Onken. Richard, ultimately, the buck stops with the CEO, and therefore they need to sort it out. This is Anne Reynolds. Not a good advert for the Isle of Man. The airport is closed. Well, I doubt it'll be closed again. I can guarantee they'll be looking at the rota in the future. About 1,200 Manx students are due to get GCSE and A-level results over the next couple of weeks. That time of the year when people, students, sweat over, you know, what they're going to get, how many UCAS points they're going to need to move on to further and higher education. But the exams, of course, have been cancelled. So how are students going to be assessed? The island's school improvement assessor is Joel Smith.
There's a number of different areas that exam boards are looking at to calculate the grades. Certainly they're using coursework that pupils have done, if they have done coursework in their qualifications. They're looking at evidence that the school has submitted, previous performance, predicted grades. And they've also got their own statistical calculations that exam boards have to do this year to maintain the integrity of the system.
Now, there has been some concern, particularly in Scotland last week. We heard about students who had one estimated grade and then were marked down. Is there a worry about that here too?
I think we're pretty confident. There's maybe a triple or a quadruple lock, really, on the integrity of the grades that have been awarded. We've worked with the exam boards to find out exactly where they're getting these grades from. And indeed, we are pretty confident with the range of qualifications that we offer that we've taken the right advice and guidance, and that pupils will generally receive the grades that they would have got should they have sat exams in June.
Now, normally when it's results day, we talk about whether grades are up or down compared to last year. How difficult is that going to be to gauge this year?
It's going to be very difficult. It's a completely different year. Usually there would be comparisons made. But as the Minister has said, what we want to make sure of this year, over the next few weeks with A-levels and GCSE results, that no young person is disadvantaged because of the situation surrounding COVID-19. We want to be able to provide them with the right advice and guidance with whatever destination they choose, whether that is moving to further education, whether that's going on in sixth forms, or whether that's entering the world of employment.
That's Joel Smith, the island's school improvement advisor. Well, after students get their A-level grades this week, some may be seeking advice on what to do next. Unemployment has tripled during the coronavirus outbreak, and some in the recruitment industry have said this is going to be particularly a problem for younger generations. Andrew McKinley's a careers advisor.
The careers service works in school, but through the holidays we are out and about. So we're in Markwell House, where the Job Centre have relocated to just recently, a couple of mornings in the week. I am in Peel this evening at the Peel Youth Club. My colleague is in Ramsey Youth Club and Port Erin Youth Club, other afternoons of the week. And I'm at college. College is staying open all through the summer, so I'll be there on a Thursday. So anybody who wants to get some further advice, guidance about what they might do as a next step, then they can come and see us. Our website is signpost.seh.im, and all the information is on there, what they can do.
Now, we know there's been a lot of concern, particularly for younger people in the jobs market at the moment. Have you seen an increase in people getting in touch?
Not a massive increase. There are jobs out there, as you've mentioned. We've got Card Factory, so there are jobs out there. I think students will just have to work a little bit harder to get them. What we've been focusing on is not the specific skills they might need, but the general skills they might need. So communication skills, teamwork skills, being able to problem solve. Those are things that will transfer from any job they go to. And then, of course, crucially, the thing is we're teaching them to be good learners. They can then hop into the next job they're going to, and then one after that, and quickly pick up the skills looking for. So we're all about those kind of foundational, fundamental skills, transferable skills.
Now, if someone doesn't necessarily get the results they were expecting and suddenly finds themselves maybe looking at the jobs market rather than further education, how important is it that they do take their time and consider all their options?
I'd say it's crucial that they really consider what they want to do, look at the adverts, and then make sure that their CV, however they're marketing themselves, really fits the bill. And that's how they're going to get through, is to make sure they fit what's been looked for.
And can you just reiterate for us quickly that website if someone does need to find all the details?
Signpost.seh.im.
That's Andrew McKinley, the careers advisor. We're not quite sure what stage the legislative process is, but apparently the government's going to lower the number of UCAS points students are going to need to be eligible for university funding. It means that students wishing to study at undergraduate level from September may only need 72 UCAS points, equivalent to a minimum of 3 Ds at A level, down from 80 points or CDD minimum needed in previous years. This change comes despite government officers speaking about the systems being used to calculate grades this year. Well, we'll find out later on this week. It is a stressful time for students, always was, getting the results of exams. And, of course, with what's been going on recently, it's even more obscured, as it were. The situation, somebody also emailed in and said, what is the situation regarding the papers on Sundays? Well, we're having this interruption really until the 23rd of August due to the Ben being either off route or on maintenance during the period. Sunday supplies, Sunday newspapers will arrive by air, which means as the airport doesn't open until 11, supplies to all retail outlets could be 5 hours later than normal as well. If the airport opens any earlier, they will advise accordingly. But that's the reason that Sunday papers are going to be late, which I suppose, well, it depends where you put it in the scheme of priorities, bearing in mind what we've been beset by since March. And also thank you to the correspondent who sent me in a copy of Google Maps or Google Earth or whatever it is, and apparently they've showed me the sewage outlet in Laxey, which is not out at sea. It's really just out from the arm of the harbour as well. More mentions in as well, and I wonder if the plane couldn't land because it was only buses and cyclists on the runway. There we go. No reason why civil servants shouldn't be back at offices. We need no anti-COVID measures in offices currently. This is Mark and his note. Civil servants, many people continue to work as normal, albeit with anti-COVID measures when required. So maybe it's time to get all the civil servants back to work. Well, again, this is something I'll certainly put down, and that's three people who have now mentioned it. So Lawrence Skelly, Enterprise Minister, is live on the show tomorrow. We'll find that out. Bill's correcting me. Nick Black is also the infrastructure CEO. Anne Reynolds is in charge of ports, this is. Lots of alternative meanings for the DOI acronym are coming in as well, most of which I can't read because they're very rude. I think the guy from Pimlico Plumbing has the right idea. People on furlough, if you don't want to go back to your job, They should be sacked. Too many people are working from home and not doing their job, busy painting and decorating and doing odd jobs paid by the taxpayer. This is all... I don't want this to turn into an anti-civil servant rant. Lots of people who work for government... Well, government is the biggest employer on the Isle of Man. But if you do have any specific examples, I'm sure we'd love to know. I had to get... 300 UCAS points back in 2013, which equated to 3 Bs. It seems the government is dumbing down the future generation of children just so the universities can keep charging obscene amounts of money. Obscene, says Jake. That's the situation with the UCAS points. The results are going to be out later on this week as well. So students, more than 1,200 students will get A-level and GCSE grades this month, despite the cancellation of exams due to the global health emergency. This unprecedented situation means students at the island's 5 secondary schools will have their grades calculated in a different way this year. What happens is pupils will be awarded their grades by exam boards, but they'll have been assigned using information such as predicted grades, obviously from teachers, coursework, and evidence of previous performance. It's expressed to the system will accurately reflect how pupils would have performed if the exams had gone ahead as normal. I get lots and lots of questions in all the time talking about things that have happened in the past. And one is, the lady just said, you keep going on about the 4-day bank holiday weekend. Is the government doing anything over the 4-day bank holiday weekend in terms of entertainment? Well, there is an absolute pot full of stuff going on over that. They call it, calling it the Super Manx long bank holiday weekend. From the 28th to the 31st. They're actually starting, I think, on Thursday, 27th. There are tribute bands playing at the Villa Marina, DCAC, OK Computer and Pigs on the Wing. Obviously, AC/DC, Radiohead and Pink Floyd tribute bands appearing. There's also a Super Manx Beach Bonanza at Laxey on the Friday. There's also the Grand Fondo at the Murrett Park in Ramsey on the Saturday, a town fair at Villiers Square in Douglas on the Saturday as well, the Port Erin Festival of the Beach and the Sea on the Saturday and Sunday on Port Erin Prom and Beach, a Super Manx Music Festival in Castletown Square on the Saturday and Sunday. Also, the Great Laxey Brass Band Festival is on Sunday 30th in Laxey, the Southern Vintage Car Rally at Bell Abbey Farm in Colby on the 30th. The Isle of Man Motorcycle Show is on Peel Promenade on Monday 31st, and a fun day at the Murrock Park in Ramsey on Monday the 31st. Lots going ahead, and of course, if you stay tuned to Manx Radio, we'll tell you exactly what's happening.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com.
Welcome to the Millichaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, where you'll find fabulous reductions throughout the store, from beds and flooring to sofas, cane furniture and accessories, rugs, pictures, mirrors and even wallpapers. Plus, the friendly Millichaps team are here as always with a warm welcome and expert help and advice when needed. Don't miss the Millichaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, now on.
Creating a home where you'll love to be. Millichaps of Ramsey.
Save over £460 by moving your mobile unlimited broadband and landline to Shore. Bundle all your services into one great package right now. Simply sign up to a 24-month contract with Shore. Enjoy all three services and save. Get more for less. So pop in store today and set up your very own great value big bundle. For details, visit shore.com.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
At Tells Skip Hire and Waste Disposal in Snugborough, you only pay for the waste you bring. For waste disposal and skips, give us a call on 677 137. That's 677 137. Visit Tells today or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Call Tells Skips today.
677 137.
Motorcycling. Let's be honest, it's in the island's blood. Become part of the story with start-to-finish motorcycle training courses, from beginner to refresher and much more. Beginners learn on the new Z125 Kawasaki, supplied by Kawasaki dealership Jason Griffiths Motorcycles. Search Facebook start-to-finish IOM or contact Ben on 569 653. And when you're ready, visit Jason Griffiths Motorcycles on Balfane Industrial Estate, Ballasalla.
With everything that's going on around us, there's a pleasure in store. An invitation to choose a case of six of the same great wines from around the world and only pay for five. Starting at £35 for six, to the ultimate. Choose selected Sainsbury's Taste the Difference wines, Prosecco, or even the finest champagne. Indulgent? Well-deserved, I'd say. The 6 for 5 summer wine offer at Shoprite and Winerite, proudly locally owned.
Oh, not again. Oh,
that Jack from next door really needs to improve his left foot.
Oh, don't worry. A storm did the damage last time, and it was easy and cheap to get a greenhouse pane from Manx Glass and Glazing.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit them on Snugborough Trading Estate for all your glazing repairs and supplies. From glass tabletops and picture frame glass to greenhouse glazing, along with good old-fashioned customer service and product knowledge.
Manx Glass and Glazing. You're smashing.
Going back in time on the sounds of the nation, it's the Caroline Flashback.
Later in the day, the town would be invaded by about 5,000 mods and rockers.
You're listening to Carnaby Street.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Chris Williams.
This is the medium wave service of Manx Radio, the first ever station to be authorized to broadcast in the medium wave band with a local commercial service for the people of the Isle of Man.
Saturday mornings, 8:30.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint, furnished by Magic Carpets.
Good afternoon. It's 14 minutes to one. Brian's with us. Hello, Brian.
How are you today, Andy?
Good, thanks.
I'm shaking my head in disbelief.
Go on.
Firstly, I was on whinging about the hedges and how many of the footpaths are unpassable now, so the pedestrians throughout the COVID were having to walk in the carriageway, and a certain minister is proposing 20-mile-an-hour speed limits for safety reasons. Well, cut the flipping hedges would be a start, safety reasons. And they have done at Cronknamona Corner. They finally cut the hedge right on the apex of the bend. There's traffic lights there. The hedge has been reduced by 5 feet. It was out into the road 5 feet, and they still haven't exposed the edge of the tarmac yet. Now, how long do you have to ignore something for it to overgrow to that distance?
5 feet.
5 feet out into the middle of the road. And as a coincidence, my life was put in jeopardy there about 2 weeks ago. Somebody had elected to bring a group of children to the Oncocentenary Park. Most people will know that as a tip. We came to the corner, and there was parked cars. And up ahead of the parked cars, they'd put bollards across the road to get the children across safely, leaving me right on the apex of Cronknamona Corner behind this heaving great hedge that was obscuring the view to any vehicle coming down, leaving me in a very vulnerable position.
Whose was the hedge, by the way? Whose land was it on?
Well, I presume it's in the countryside. I presume that the hedge to the centre line is owned by the householders. But in the countryside, the department are cutting the hedges to the centre line also, because they have to. I mean, they don't have to cut mine because I've got a tractor-mounted hedge trimmer and I would cut it anyway. But, and the top of them, which they're not doing now. But I can't believe that we go from one stupid situation to another. In the street where I live, half the pavement's taken up by a domestic hedge. Over half of the pavement.
Yeah.
And Onken commissioners have done nothing for years.
But they could, couldn't they? They could issue an immediate improvement order, surely.
They could do that. But let me go off that whinge onto something else. I hope the whole of our government are very grateful for this coronavirus outbreak, you know, because they should be. They should be extremely thankful. Because if we hadn't had this, we'd be right in the middle of our holiday season now with a mess on Douglas Promenade. Have you seen the sign outside Paparazzi?
Now, what does it say?
It says, if you want to know what it's like to have a business, I'm having to plagiarise this, in Douglas at the moment, well, we feel it's like being the band on the Titanic. And that's the top and bottom of it. If you work in government, your wages are secure, your pension's secure, COVID comes along, you're sent home, you can isolate, walk in the countryside, do what you want, but your money is secure. If you work in the private sector, you're in real, real trouble.
Well, the prom had to be done, Brian, though, didn't it? It simply had to be done. They couldn't keep running away from that.
Well, I wouldn't dispute that for one moment. But, you know, my life has been a diverse one, and my time with Goobe, I can tell you now, if we'd have embarked on any project that had taken as long as that promenade, well, he'd have bounced us off every wall there was, and he would be suing people left, right and centre. This is just ridiculous, the way that it's dragging on and on and on. Thank God the DOT isn't doing or didn't build the M1. I mean, in 1962, they started it. He'd have got, what, Watford Gap by now? I mean, it's pathetic.
Well, let's judge Mr. Baker by his results. He has nailed his colours to the mast, and he said it's going to be open by Easter next year.
Oh, well done. And if you support Mr. Baker, he, with the island burgeoning on bankruptcy after having to pay out for the COVID, he's suggesting we reinstate Ballylease Bridge and the old railway track over Glenwillan at a cost of $1.5 million. And the Peel railway line now has a set of traffic lights right on the junction at Quarterbridge. Mm. I came to the Quarterbridge the other day. There were a couple of kids crossing the road with their bicycles, four cars, backed up behind, and Quarterbridge roundabout was jammed up.
It's a puffin crossing, apparently.
Oh, it's a puffin. Now, if you want that road, you know, the old railway line, all you've got to do is try and get it back. Move the hyperbaric chamber, which is blocking it. Move McDonald's, which is blocking it. Move the building that I built on it, that used to be Island Garages. All that track is gone now. So it's too late for reinstating the route, because people have claimed it all over the island. Any walker that's walked that path or trekker that's gone along there will tell you it is no longer a continuous path. People have pinched it. Mr. Baker, I don't know where he's coming from. It's one lunatic idea after another.
All right, Brian, listen, we've got to go. We're out of time with this, but I must point out to you, I think Mr. Cannon would say the island isn't bankrupt.
Well, no. But why are we borrowing?
Because it's cheaper, apparently. I think he said it...
That changed under COVID emergency regulation.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. But, I mean, he did point out that money's never been cheaper to borrow, and if you can get it at that rate now, it would seem pertinent only as a backstop anyway.
Luckily, he's got the same adage as a lot of people. Now you can borrow enough money to get yourself completely out of debt.
All right. Brian, good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us.
Cheers.
All right. Here's Sue now with us today. Hello, Sue.
Hello.
Hi, Sue. Hello, Sue.
Hello.
Yeah, you're live on the air, Sue.
Oh, hi. It's just a comment, just passing a comment further to what the gentleman said before. Promenade or no promenade, I don't think anybody should ever say that we should be grateful for coronavirus, because people died. People lost loved ones. we lost, my family lost loved ones who we couldn't visit in nursing homes at the time. And I just think people should remember it's a very, very serious virus and we shouldn't be thankful for it.
Good point, Sue. Thank you for calling us today.
Thank you.
All right, good. It's 5 to 1 on Manx Radio. The man in line is here. We're just about out of time. So tomorrow, Lawrence Skelly, Enterprise Minister, is going to be with us. And any thoughts on the matter for Mr. Skelly, by all means, email maninline@manxradio.com or call 682-631. For the answer phone as well. Regardless, not cutting hedges, the environment has to take precedence now, giving seeding weeds for the insects, apparently. And also, somebody said, we tell the DOI off for scalping hedges, and then we tell them off for not cutting hedges. Who's right and who's wrong? Well, that's for you to figure out. Man in Line back tomorrow. Remember, it's our daily interaction, public affairs. It's what you think, your opinion on the news, and anything you'd like to bring up. Thanks to our studio producer today, Howard Kane. On next with Late Lunch, Howard and Christy, Alex in the afternoon, updates on at 5:30. You got Agenda, Chris Kinley, with Greatest Hits. Time for Brass with Ian Cotier. Stu Peters on The Late Show tonight at 10 o'clock on Manx Radio. Have a lovely day. If you get the rain, count yourself unlucky.